And today, to start off the program, we're going to be talking about climate change. And that, of course, is a subject that raises a good deal of controversy. But whether one thinks it's the result of human activity or natural cycles, there is no denying that change is happening. Now the question is, what do we do? How do we adapt to it? And that is the focus of a new study about how warming ocean temperatures are affecting the fisheries. And to tell us more about it, we are joined by the lead author of the study, Professor Rashid Sumaila. He is the director of the Fisheries Economics Research Unit at the University of British Columbia's Fisheries Center. And he joins us on the line from Vancouver. Mr. Sumaila, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Let's begin with a brief overview. Tell us how fish populations are adapting to changes in the ocean temperature.
Yeah, you know, climate scientists and fisheries biologists, ecologists studying this have discovered a number of things happening to fish. And one of them is that the distribution range of fish are changing because fish, like all living things, live comfortably within some range of temperatures. So as temperatures change, we see movement of fish away from where they used to be to new areas. So that's one change that is coming with climate change. The second is that ocean chemistry is changing, which means that things like acidity, the ocean is becoming more acidic and so on and so forth. You have hypoxia, which is means the oxygen in the ocean is changing. This also is an effect. And both of these together means that the productivity of fish is likely to change with warming.
Well, Mr. Sumaila, you approach the subject from an economist's point of view, but if the oceans are warming primarily around the southern and equator regions, the fish are apparently moving north. Isn't that going to benefit Canada and other northern nations?
Yeah, the research shows that some areas of the world are likely to benefit, the colder parts of the world. Fish will be moving more from the tropical areas into the temperate and even the north and south pole. That is a general kind of results with the distributional thing. Another angle to that is the ocean acidification, and what we are seeing is that the colder parts of the world are likely to be affected more, the fish in there, by ocean acidification than in the tropics. So yes, fish may move. For example, sardine in the Pacific usually move a bit up north as temperature warms, so Canada may likely see more sardines in her waters. And this could be positive. But in terms of economics, that means the local industry will have to adjust to the new fish coming in, because if you're used to catching salmon and suddenly you have more sardine, you have to restructure, which can be costly.
I just want to go back to the comment you made about acidification. What does that mean? Is the ocean becoming more acidic? And what does that do to the fish populations where that's occurring?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The ocean is becoming more acidic, and as the acidity increases, fish find it more difficult to live in their environment. So you are going to see some fishes, especially what we call the invertebrates, right? The species that do calcification have carbon around their bodies and are very valuable in the market are likely to be affected much more by acidification because they wouldn't be able to form those hard covers that help them to live.
So this you're saying is more prevalent in northern oceans then, this greater level of acidification?
Relatively, yes. It's likely to be much higher in the colder parts of the ocean. Think of the North Pole, for example, with the ice melting and the ocean chemistry changing. The kind of processes that will take place are going to be much larger than in the tropics. Yeah.
So does this mean that the marine species around the world are slowly, over a period of time, going to be forced from the tropical areas northward or southward, as the case may be, and from the polar areas towards the middle, so that we have, a coming together of a whole bunch of marine life in a smaller and smaller area around the world?
Yeah, that is the prediction, in a smaller and smaller area around the world. And also the total biomass, the total quantity of these fishes are likely to be affected, because remember, the productivity also predicted to reduce, right? The fish size are likely to go down according to the science, and which means that their ability to spawn and deliver new fish is also going to be affected.
What happens when new species start to move into an area? What happens to the species, the marine life that's already there?
Yeah, it depends. If they can move to areas in the ocean that are favorable to them, they will move. But if they cannot move, they are stuck in there, which means that we're going to lose them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that is the kind of dynamics that is likely to happen. And all of these actually have potential economic consequences, right? So studies show that countries like Iceland and Greenland are likely to see increases in their revenues and economic benefits, at least in the short term. In the long term, medium term, nobody really knows, because, you know, as the warming goes on, right, it's likely that as time goes on, if this continuous countries, even Iceland may not find this to be a good thing.
Well, this, of course, sounds like an issue that is certainly transnational, international. Do you see the nations of the world taking some steps to adapt to this?
Yeah, this is one of the goals of studies like this, is just to alert the world community, to alert nations and countries to really watch out for things that are likely coming, and so we can adapt rather than wait and be reactive, which is usually what we do, right? We wait until the harm is done, and then we try scramble to solve problems. These kinds of studies kind of helps us to kind of look out and try to do something. So hopefully this is going to lead to discussions in different fora, both at the national level and international levels, like in the UN and so on and so forth, and hopefully we'll start preparing for the likely things to happen.
Well, Mr. Sumaila, looking into your crystal ball, where do you see this headed if we're having more marine species forced to move into a smaller area, and smaller amounts of fish on the one hand, and on the other hand, a growing world population, and therefore a growing demand on the oceans as a food source?
I tell you, yeah, it doesn't look pretty, because, okay, at the moment we've been talking mainly about what is happening in the ocean, but at the same time, things will be happening on land, you know. The agricultural sector will also be affected. And when you have all these things, energy may be affected, right? So when you have all this happening, really, it doesn't look pretty. There are people who are thinking in terms of the perfect storm coming, right? So this is not just looking at fisheries alone. We have to look broadly and see what is in the horizon. And we need to really work hard to prepare ourselves for what is likely to happen.
Well, Mr. Sumaila, thank you very much for talking to us about this.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
And that is Rashid Sumaila. He is the director of the Fisheries Economics Research Unit at the University of British Columbia's Fisheries Center, and his study is published in the journal Nature. And we will post a link to it on our own webpage, which is rcinet.ca/the link. And Professor Sumaila joined us on the line from Vancouver.